Sahanavavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahaviryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastoma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 112. Sri Sukadev Goswami concluded, in human society, there are various activities performed for the protection of one's wealth and life by one's words, one's mind, and one's actions. But they are all performed for one's personal or extended sense gratification with reference to the body. All these activities are baffled because of being separate from devotional service. But when the same activities are performed for the satisfaction of the Lord, the beneficial results are distributed to everyone. Just as water poured on the root of a tree is distributed throughout the entire tree. Srila Prabhupada comments. This is the distinction between materialistic activities and activities performed in Krishna consciousness. The entire world is active, and this includes the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis, and the bhaktas. However, all activities except those of the bhaktas, the devotees, end in bafflement and a waste of time and energy. Mogasha, Moga Karamano, Moga Jnana, Vichetasaha. Bhagavad Gita 9.12. One is not a devotee. His hopes, his activities, and his knowledge are all baffled. A non-devotee works for his personal sense gratification, or for the sense gratification of his family, society, community, or nation. But because all such activities are separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are considered asat. The word asat means bad or temporary, and sat means permanent and good. Activities performed for the satisfaction of Krishna are permanent and good. But asat activity, although sometimes celebrated as philanthropy, altruism, nationalism, this ism or that ism, will never produce any permanent result and is therefore all bad. So here we're getting that distinction between its connection to Krishna and not. That's actually what the point is. It's not about what's being done. It's about whether it's connected to Krishna. Right. So it's not about the situation itself. It's about how that situation is being used. What's the purpose of it? Right. So as mentioned before, one's various activities, protection of one's wealth and life by one's words, mind, and one's actions. Right. So that's the point, is the same thing done in connection with Krishna and consideration of Krishna, that becomes eternal. Right? That which is not done in that connection then will always be temporary. No matter how nicely it's done, how wonderful it is. Because it mentions here, right? Celebrated, right? As philanthropy, altruism, nationalism, this ism and that ism. So those are all considered good. Right? Generally we would be more involved in altruism. We don't do so much philanthropy. Right? Because philanthropy means you give money. Right? Altruism means you give time and energy. Right? So that kind of aspect is, we're doing all these things, right? But if it's connected to Krishna, it becomes perfect. And if it's not connected to Krishna, it doesn't matter how great it is, it's not perfect. It'll give a temporary result. So the whole thing is the consciousness of its connection to Krishna, why you're doing it. That's the main thing. That's the important aspect. So that's what has to be analyzed. That's what we're starting to analyze here, is how it's being done. Because you see, the demons, they're dealing very nicely with Mohini Murti. Right? Very careful, following the etiquettes properly. Like that. But why are they doing it? For their own benefit. That's the whole thing. They see themselves in a relationship with her. Therefore, then they're performing all the etiquettes nicely. It's not they're dealing with this because here's the Lord. He's come as a female, so therefore they should deal nicely. One is the supreme, but because he's taken this form, so the interaction should be based on that proper masculine, feminine, position. And so I'm doing that to please the Lord. No. They're doing it just because this is how you deal nicely so that they get the feminine attention. Right? So it's not about. So they're using the same activities, the same proper activities. It means how they're dealing with Mohini is proper. But the problem is because of their own attachment, therefore it takes on the asat nature. Well, if you're performing these same activities connected to Krishna, then it takes on the transcendental nature. That's the important. So it's not situational. We put too much emphasis on the situation. Situation is important. That's from where you're going to perform your activity. Right? Without the situation, how do you express Krishna consciousness? But it's not about the situation. Like Krishna says, he is in everything, but it's not him. So yes, the situation is important because we'll use that to connect to Krishna, but it's not about the situation. It's not about the perfection of the situation. It's about the perfection of the Krishna consciousness. So if any time in the application of the situation, if we get off track, we are off track of Krishna consciousness. We will say, no, but his plan's going perfectly. But the point is, yes, the situational plan is, but the actual purpose of it is not. Right? So the strategy is be Krishna conscious. That's the actual strategy. Right? And if at any point it leaves that, then it's not in the form. Right? Then, as operational, we'll engage whatever is our conditioning, our nature, our facility in Krishna's service. That's the operational. Right? And then the tactical will be, I'm in this situation now with my conditioning. I will use that in this situation to serve Krishna. You understand? That's how you say it. Devotional service explained by strategic planning. But you understand is what we have here is the concept of strategic planning is actually very different than how it's being used in the corporate world. In the corporate world, they put your plan as the strategy. That's not the strategy at all. That's the misunderstanding. The strategy is becoming Krishna conscious. That's what you're trying to do. Because if you're Krishna conscious, then you get out of the material entanglement. You're situated properly. You don't get out, then you're here in the material world. You suffer. How are you going to do that? By engaging body, mind, and words in the Lord's service. That's the operational. Right? Because that's still... It's specific enough that it shows what activity you'll do, but it'll be generic in that it can still be applied anywhere. The tactical is on the ground where you are applying that strategy and that operational. So it's actually a very simple formula. Just somehow the corporations make it extremely complicated and unusable. Yes?
Can we say that in our life strategy, it would be Krishna consciousness.
Yes, yes.
But our mixed part comes...
The mixed comes as basically is understanding of the operational and of the tactical. So it's just like, let's say, okay, we're trying to be Krishna conscious, so therefore all body and mind and words engaged in Krishna service, so that situation that would be best will be there for Grihastha Ashram. Right? So that's your operational. Is engagement of the environment in Grihastha Ashram in Krishna consciousness. Now the tactical will be what's coming up, what's happening right now in Grihastha Ashram. So now it's dinner, now it's discussions about some important things, what we're going to be doing, later in the year, or, the kid's done this, what are we going to do about it, or, that we need to do this financial thing. So that's your tactical. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You do have below that, though it's not generally used, you have mechanical is okay, exactly okay, the money will be, transferred by the bank, or it'll be cash, or that's that. But that's it's included in the tactical. So therefore, if at any point you forget I'm engaging Grihastha Ashram in Krishna's service, then the whole thing gets lost. We get distracted, we get so absorbed in you know, something within the family that we forget Krishna, then we're actually not following the strategy. That's why the strategy is not a plan. The conceptual plan starts at operational. But the the corporate world will put that strategy as that, and it's not at all. That's why, because they take it for granted, the strategy actually is money, profit. Then what do we have to do to get profit? Right? So they're just they don't even discuss strategy. All they do is they discuss operational, tactical, and mechanical, and think they're discussing strategic planning, but they don't even get, it's not even on the same planet. It's just, it doesn't have anything to do, because until you put in that, it doesn't take on a higher position. So, we have problems identifying these. We take it, no, the strategy is that, you know, I have to get this project done. No, this project is actually tactical. Strategy, I have to be Krishna conscious. And therefore, I'm engaging my conditioning. That's your operational. So that's where the mistakes come, is because we think, no, but I can do anything. I'm not this body. I can do anything. But that's like, great, okay? I'm not this body. I can open a $1 billion business. You know, I got, what do I got here? I got 2,150 rupees. And wait. Here I got, and seven, okay, you know, in coins. So can we open a $1 billion business? No. So we're being totally... But we're not this body. So why are we restricting ourselves because of these external forms? We could... You know what I'm saying? But what's the problem? We're saying, I'm not this body. I can do anything. But what is that anything going to be done with? The body. So we never get off the bodily platform. We actually never get the strategy. Right? Interesting. Right? Maya's trick. So that's what's being shown here, is that human society will do all these variety of activities, and they're all connected with one's own body, and that extended, and that is of gain and safety, right? Because here it says protection of one's wealth, right? Protection, wealth, gain, wealth, and protection, safety. So it all boils down to gain and safety, connected with oneself and one's extended self, or the family, you know, properties, anything else, you know, that, that teddy bear you got in, when you were at the carnival, you know, all those different things. Then all that kind of stuff like that, that is there. Now, that, seeing that connected to Krishna, then is there. So how do you do that? You have to see how it comes down from the strategic on down. Otherwise, then it won't work. That's the problem, is that we're not making that connection. So because of that, we don't actually see the operational, the tactical, and the proper consciousness. Because the point is, it's about the strategy that makes it transcendental or not. It's not about the operational, the tactical. We take it that, no, if I change the situation, then it's spiritual, I change the situation, it's material. But because of that, then those who live in the temple, then we're Krishna conscious, anybody outside is not. Right? And the others, no, but they're in the temple, but then they have all their different problems, so therefore the community, we're more honest and all that, so we're actually more, because honesty is actually the whole point of Krishna consciousness, right? I join Krishna consciousness to become honest. Right? Like that.
Satyam.
Yes. Okay. What? Satyam. Satyam Param. Satyam Param Aham Dimahi. Dimahi, yes. Yes, like that. Gotten the full mantra. We weren't going to reveal so much, but now that you have, now everyone gets. Ramanuja, when he got the mantra, then he said it loudly so that everybody could get the full benefit. So now, by his benefit, now you can all get the proper use of the full mantra here.
Regarding the activities,
right?
It's very much famous in India about Manu Seva is Madhu Seva, and
Manava Seva is Madhava Seva.
Yeah.
Who's Madhava?
Madhu Krishna.
But in reality, who is?
In reality, that's
everybody.
Yeah, that's what. So
this actually should be okay. Manava Seva is
what?
Gandhava Seva.
Huh? I think
you didn't catch it? Anyone else caught it?
Gandhi has
proper. Yes. Mm-hmm. Means serving man is serving Gandhi. You know what I'm saying? It's just nice things to get people, because they want, in other words, they want to switch from Dharma to Artha. Right?
But you're dead.
No. Here. I don't want to rock any boats here, but the point is Gandhi was seeing things on a higher end of, pranamoy, throwing in, some good Bhagavad Gita, and there's some idea of some kind of Vedic kind of things like that. Now, this idea had been there for 100 years in India, right? Since the 1830s or 1840s, like that. No, more like 1850s. Then the Indians themselves wanted independence, right? Have you ever heard of any independence movement before Gandhi? No. But they were there for 100 years. So what does that mean? They were totally ineffective. Then Gandhi comes along and somehow knows to attract the people's attention. Right? So now all those people who were interested in independence for India saw this guy has political clout. People like him because he talks Vedic stuff. He's very simple. He's very renounced. He's, detached, like that. So he's got the formula, because they were just coming from politics. Does common person care about politics? No. So person, they'll care about, doing your duties and being God conscious and all this kind of stuff. So in other words, it has to be about a supreme, and there has to be benefit for everyone. Well, it was about freedom of India, and then this way, then they'll be in control and in charge. Will the common person go for that? No, because they're putting themselves as the supreme, and who's getting the benefit? Themselves. No one will buy that. He's putting it, God's the supreme, and everyone will get benefit. Bingo, a winner. Okay? So, they all get behind him, do everything like that, but as soon as they get independence, do they actually care about what he does? No. Nehru immediately goes for, instead of cottage industries, he connects himself with, the East Bloc and Russia like that to get technology. Why? Because the First World told him, don't do this. You have such a nice thing going on with, with the cottage industry. 80% of your whole economy and every people are there. That's powerful. That's what you could sell to the world. But Nehru thought, no, I'm going to do this for, that you're just trying to keep us back. Mm-hmm. We're going to progress by, making, all kinds of weirdo stuff like you see in Russia. Like, I was shocked when I went to Russia and I came down there. It looks like Calcutta. And I was wondering, why? Because Calcutta is based on their architecture. The old stuff, that's British, but all the new stuff is Russian architecture.
No.
Yeah, like that. So the whole thing is they didn't care about him. So it wasn't about Bhagavad Gita, it wasn't about Swaraj, meaning, our own culture and all that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like if it was all about, the whole thing about India was Khadi. You know that Khadi means handmade? Hand woven. Now it's machine made, machine woven. They use power loom, so it's using the same loom, but they put a machine on it. So that means Khadi is gone. And that was like the foundation of India. He got freedom from the British by that. So you know, so therefore, who took over all those people that were there, Nehru and all those guys, they were atheists. They weren't interested in Vedic culture or anything. Jinnah just wanted to open his own country. And Nehru wanted his own, so they're all happy. And who sits in the middle? Gandhi. And then who gets the rap? Not Nehru and Jinnah, Gandhi gets the rap, so they shoot him. So then problem solved. And then, therefore, Madhava Seva. So in other words, you have an atheistic government that supposedly is supposed to be dealing on, Vedic terminology. So it's just a clever way of presenting economics so that your common person who has a sentiment towards religion will think, okay, yeah, I can get involved in that. So it's nothing, it's nothing elevated, it's not a philosophy, it's just economics. that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, like when we are dealing with strategy, the way we approach it, like for example, even in modern times, we have a concept which we want to make a student understand.
Now, no, but why do you want that? That's operational. That's tactical. Why do you want? Why should there be teacher and student? What is the whole purpose of that education?
We make them work on
that strategy. You understand? That's the whole point. Is that will always be yeah, of course, and then they'll go into something else. Okay, that's the difficulty.
So my question was like, when we are approaching to that aspect of what we are going to gain. Now, there can be many methods, like according to person's situation.
But the point is there an overall approach? Okay. There's an overall approach, that's your operational. How you could do it, that's according to what's available, that's your tactical. Does that make sense? We always have to see, we try to move everything up, but everything belongs down. The top is, for us, Krishna consciousness. Right? And so for us, then following the instruction of the spiritual master, you know, and his recommendations, you know, to engage ourselves in Krishna's service, that's your operation. Then, okay, I'm in this temple, I have this facility, I can cook for Krishna. That's your tactical. Mechanical is going to be, then I'm cooking, you know, rice or something. So it's pulled down. But the problem is as he says here, Prabhupada says here, sometimes celebrated. So the point is because they're taking, I'm the controller, and naturally I can do all these things. So therefore, if I put it together like that, my plans are also grandioso. So I try to push things up. But the point is they're always down. They'll always say, no, but you know, we want to cook this nice feast for Krishna and all that. That's the strategy. That's not the strategy. That's the tactical. You know what I'm saying? You can, within that, apply the same thing again. Okay, what's the point? Why do you want to cook a nice feast for Krishna? Is that going to be asked? No. That's then within that smaller circle, that's your strategy. I want to please Krishna and the Vaishnavas. So that means pleasing Krishna and the Vaishnavas, then I have to cook things that I know will please Krishna and the Vaishnavas. You understand? So then you make your plans from there. So I want to please the Vaishnavas, then I have to use the facilities I have. And so then I'm going to apply myself, you know, make the menu, go to the market, you know, pick up the stuff, cut the vegetables, wash the pots. How I wash a pot, okay, I'm going to use this cleaner and this scrubber and I'm going to do it in this sink. So you can always apply those three, but you have to know the biggest out, the top is, for us, Krishna consciousness. And if it's not Krishna consciousness, it is not strategic planning. I don't care who it is.
Making our courses in the Gurukul, so we keep our philosophy and the strategy, and whatever the methods of the Vedic things are, we are using the Apara Vidya, we keep it operational, and then tactical, for time being, we are using what is available in the
mode. Well, that's your mechanical. The point is why do you want to use, why do you want to educate, so that people become Krishna conscious? Because otherwise, if it's just educate and get the point across, then we could use modern methods. No, we want to make them Krishna conscious. Therefore, the modern methods are inferior to the Vedic methods as far as getting education across and being Krishna conscious. If you just want to get the knowledge across and not be Krishna conscious, then the modern does fairly good at that. You know? But if you want to be Krishna conscious, and it means, in other words, if you want to understand this point that we're discussing now, of that point that's in the middle, which is Apara Vidya, it's connected to Krishna, it becomes transcendental. It's not connected to Krishna, it becomes Avidya. That's what we're trying to discuss. So unless that's kept as the forefront, how do you go? Because you're performing an activity to get a result. So if the result's not Krishna consciousness, then that means then your endeavor and all that won't be proper. You understand? So the what we would what the modern people would call theory or philosophy is the top still. And unless one can accept that, one shouldn't be dealing with these things. So Brahmas and Kshatriyas, they can work with this and have ideals like this as the top. You know, and if you can't, don't deal with it. Just stick to business and stay out of everybody else's way. Is that what I was saying? Yeah, so that's the thing. It comes down. Okay? Yeah. Yes.
The strategy will always be embedded in operational as well as technical.
It will always be embedded. Yes, it has to be. Because the point is your situation, how is that going to get the goal? How will activity in that situation get the goal? So that means all these things have to be in line.
So already we show that it's 1, 2, 3, you know, the distinct parts. Actually, they're all together in one sense.
They're all together, but you study them separately. But when you apply it, they're all together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes.
I have a question about the demons dealing with Mohini Murthy. Did they get any like benefit from trying to serve the Supreme in that form? Even if their goal wasn't, Krishna consciousness, did they get any benefit like Krishna?
They got some smiles. They got some sweet talking. They got some feminine graces.
I mean, like some devotional service.
But why would it be devotional? Do they see it as the Lord?
Because the Lord is transcendental.
See, like this. Okay. The mother is there with the child. The child smiles. The mother is nice. She deals nicely. Puts on the kid's coat and all that nicely. Okay? Then is she getting spiritual and material benefit?
The mother?
Yeah.
It depends on her consciousness.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Explain.
She's taking care of the child and seeing the child as a servant of Krishna. She's doing that to please the Lord.
Okay.
Then she will get spiritual.
Okay. And if she's just seeing it as her child, and that he's so cute and attractive, and right? Okay. So take that same thing that you just explained very nicely, shift that over to the demigods and Mohini Murti. So are they seeing their interaction with Mohini to please the Supreme Lord? They're seeing it that maybe, hey, they're going to get somebody to take home. You know, I mean, you're not going to get a better trophy wife than this. Okay? So then do they get some spiritual benefit or not? Yeah, they don't even get the wife. Yeah. They don't even, getting spiritual, they don't even get the girl. You understand? Because everything... Okay, let's shift back to the other one about the mother and the child. Why is the child attractive?
I remember you explaining that the Brahman, the girliness of the child is actually the
okay.
Brahman.
Became very specific here. Okay, yes. So that attractiveness of the child, that childness in that, is Krishna. So that's with everything. Right? Does that make sense? Right? When you notice everybody's sitting on the rug. No one's sitting on the floor. Why? Because of that aspect of the warmth that comes from the rug that is Krishna. So we're attracted by that. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, just because everything is the Supreme Lord. So dealing with anything, you're dealing with the Supreme Lord. That's the only reason you're dealing with it. Right? But the point is are they getting that particular benefit of Krishna consciousness? No, because they don't see it connected to the Lord. So even though they're dealing with the Lord as Mohini Murti, but because they don't see the connection with the Lord, they don't get the benefit. It's like Hiranyakashipu and Ravana. They dealt with the Lord, so they get material benefit. Yeah. And then I was thinking of a boy, and then she said girl, and then it turns out it was a girl. Okay. Yes, okay. So, Does that make sense? So you're dealing with Krishna anyway, but because you don't connect it to Krishna, you don't get that benefit. There isn't. We're taking material is one thing, spiritual is another. No, everything's spiritual. Our consciousness, we see it connected to Krishna, then we get the spiritual benefit. We don't see it, we get the material. So therefore, they're dealing with the Lord without seeing it as the Lord. So Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, they were dealing directly with the Lord, but not seeing him as the Lord. Ramachandra, he was just some guy there with monkeys. Monkeys. Here's Ravana, you know, he's got everybody in the universe trembling and that. He's so prestigious. He lives in a pure gold city. And this guy shows up with monkeys? Right? You know, so it's like, I'm not even sure, but I don't think he wanted to fight with him because he didn't have a chariot. He might have been riding around on one of the monkey's shoulders. Right? And so therefore you know, he arranged a chariot and everything like that. So he didn't see him like that. Hiranyakashipu, he didn't know what he was. You know, it's like he's half man, half lion. What is this guy? He's control of everything in the universe, and he's never seen one of these. You know? So even though they're directly dealing with the Lord, then they don't get the spiritual benefit. They get purified. They get, you know, material facility for that, right? It means Hiranyakashipu then is born as Ravana, right? Does that make sense? So they're well situated. So now, going back again to the demigods dealing with Mohini Murti, are they getting spiritual benefit? No. Like that. Because we'll see now what will happen when they know it's the Lord. When Mohini turns into Ajita, you know, and all that, then we'll see what their reaction is. Right? You know, it's not like, wow, you were the nice girl, okay, then we should be servants of Vishnu. No, then they get out their arms and everything.
So Rupa Goswami explained in the Bhagavad Gita what's alluded to, that because Krishna is the full manifestation, most attractive, that those who dealt with him got liberation, whereas dealing with the other form, even not attractive, because he was so attractive to them, then they might not be devotional, but Shishupal, Dantavakra, they still get.
Yes.
Whereas the other forms of the Lord, because the same qualities aren't being manifest,
yes,
then the people aren't attracted in the same way and don't get the spiritual benefit, the devotional benefit.
Yes.
So even amongst the four Navastas, which was Nisringadeva and Lord Ramachandra,
yes,
they didn't get the devotional benefit.
Yes.
In Krishna's position,
then they do.
They do.
Yeah. So here's, and we're not dealing either one of them, Ajita or that, in Krishna's position. But if they see him as the Supreme Lord, then they'll always get the benefit. But he's talking here about the demons because they don't know. They're not going to get the same benefit as dealing with Krishna. Right. So that's why then, especially for in this Kali Yuga, then serving Lord Chaitanya is you're dealing with the Supreme. As Krishna, part of Asta. So you're getting that total benefit, even if they don't understand it. Does that make sense?
Okay. So connecting things to the Lord means that
connecting means you're conscious. See, because if you're not connecting to the Lord, then they're just attracted to feminine beauty. Mm. Feminine beauty is the potency of the Lord coming through universal form. So yes, it's connected to the Lord, but they don't see that connection, so they don't get that benefit. Does that make sense? But if you see it connected to the Lord, means the Lord is Bhagavan. So they're dealing on the Brahman and Paramatma level and not actually even seeing it that way, so they don't get that benefit. But if you see that this is Brahman aspect, Paramatma aspect, Bhagavan, then you get that benefit. But you have to be conscious. That's why it's Krishna conscious. So, let's say the devotees are out there doing a Ratha Yatra. Now, that Ratha Yatra, are the devotees conscious of what it is? Yes. So they're presenting that and going out and making it obvious to the people. Now, the people will get that direct benefit from that. You understand? Because the devotees are involved. Okay. Yeah?
During the churning of the Milkoshan and Lakshmiji came, in that time everybody was desiring to, like the demigods as well as the demons, they desired. Now when Mohini Murthy, she appeared, we had only the demons, you know, who were being really bewildered and they wanted her, not the demigods. So, is it because, in the first case, they saw her?
No, but the demigods were told, don't get involved in anything that comes out of the ocean.
Yeah.
But so therefore, even the demigods were being careful about their interest in Lakshmi.
But then we find that in the next chapter that even Shivji is not attracted to Mohini Murthy.
Yeah, but the point is he's seeing as Krishna, who's comes Mohini. So therefore, even though he is the lord of the material energy, so he's Purusha. So therefore, he's powerful. Right? He's got 55 qualities of Krishna. But the point is, Krishna's beyond that. And his power, his maya, is more powerful than him, because he is not controlled by his maya, but he's controlled by Krishna's maya. That's why at the end, you see Shiva's not embarrassed, because he's controlled by Krishna's maya. Right? Embarrassment is if you're controlled by his mind. Is that okay?
Maharaj, you made the statement before that people sometimes have erroneous idea that I'm not this body so I can do anything.
Yeah.
Is there an element of Mayavad in that idea?
Well, basically, on one thing, in the personified Vedas, then. See, because generally we'll take as there's the six Vedic philosophies, right? And so we'll say they're all agnostic, you know. So they accept the concept of the supreme, and they accept the authority of the Vedas, though they're not interested in actually a relationship with the supreme. So within that, then your most, you'd say, virulent would be the Mayavad philosophy. That aspect of that impersonalism. But Prabhupada, in there, in describing them all, because he goes through all of the schools, says technically they're all Mayavadi because they're all atheistic, in that they don't understand the Supreme as a person, and as a person what that means. So they all deal with him actually as impersonal. Though they know he may have a form and be the controller and all that, but it's only because he's the greatest, he's unchangeable, he's all those qualities that they appreciate are all impersonal. So technically they're all Mayavadis, because it's about themselves and how they're going to get benefit from the Supreme. Whether they become the Supreme, whether like this, but the point is it's atheistic. So technically anything other than pure Vaishnava philosophy is atheistic, is Mayavadi. Like that. So in that way you can say it is, from that aspect. It means technically, whether it be Mayavad, the point is point is they so then the point is then who is transcendental?
The soul.
The soul. But then if the body can do anything, that means the body has to be transcendental. Mm-hmm. So then we're saying the qualities of, you know, inconceivableness and omnipotence and all that belong to Pradhan. Mm-hmm. So indirectly it's Mayavad philosophy, but those who are saying it won't know that. Mm-hmm. So in that way you can't. But from the point of it's not our philosophy, that you can say is Mayavad. Right? In other words, if it's a duty you're supposed to do and you don't want to do it because bodily consideration, that's when you say you're not the body, you're the soul. Therefore, the soul makes the decision, I will perform my duty, even though on the bodily platform there may be some trepidation. But when it's a duty you're not supposed to do and you say, I can do that, and then say, I'm not this body, that's impersonal philosophy. That's not our philosophy. That's atheistic. Because you don't understand God's control. You're saying, I can do it, and maybe on the skills level you can do it, but on the mentality level you're nowhere near doing it. And Krishna, for Krishna, what's important is not what you're doing, but the mentality. So since the mentality is wrong, how is it devotional service?
I was thinking of this idea of I'm not this body, hence I am supreme. There's no authority I have to follow.
Yeah, that also. That also would be. Is that simply because I said it, it's Shabda. But, you know, and I'm saying it with the various, what is it, tones and intonations.
Long and short syllables.
Yes, yes. Okay. Yes, long and short syllables. No! We are not the Bod. Yeah, so yeah, so all those, yes, they're doing all that. Yes, Veda is coming from them.
But they're not
Apta. Yeah, but they're not Apta. Yeah. Yes, so from that angle, that would be also. So now we've shown three ways that they're Mayavadi. No, so you don't need one, you got three. So I'm sure if you keep looking, you can catch a few more. Yeah, that's why the philosophy is very specific and very much how you follow. Because you have to follow authority. Then you apply it specifically to you and your situation. That has to be done. But the point is if you don't catch that overall, then you can't deal with the mechanical platform. You can't see the situation. Because the situation is, it may have an influence. So like an impure environment might have implications on someone who's not Krishna conscious, because it will bring up sinful desire, therefore they'll go. So we'll say that's unfavorable. So favorable means the first thing in devotional service, surrender, is giving up those unfavorable and accepting what's favorable. Mm-hmm. Or it's actually accepting what's favorable, then giving up what's unfavorable. Because you have to have some, you can't just get rid of it without replacing. Devotees try that. Get rid of their own culture, don't accept the Vedic culture, and then they create their own, which is worse than either. Like that. Like that. Is that
is
Mohini Murti is Bhagavan because she's performing her activities. Mm-hmm. It's a lila. It's a pastime. No, the point is, anytime the Lord's performing his pastimes, that's Bhagavan. So Paramatma is Bhagavan. But the point is if we're only relating to him as the Supreme and all that, that's the Paramatma aspect. Right? Because it's not the person is supreme, it's just the position is supreme. God said, you have to do this, so if I don't do that, I'll get in trouble. It's not about the person, it's just about the position. That's Paramatma. Then when we're thinking Paramatma is the Supreme Lord, he's so kind, he comes and sits in my heart, then that's Bhagavan. Is that what that is? Okay. Okay, even a little work done in Krishna consciousness is a permanent asset and is all good because it is done for Krishna, the all good Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is everyone's friend, Sridam Sarva Bhutanam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only enjoyer and proprietor of everything. Bhokta Ramya Gitapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Bhagavad Gita 5:29. Therefore, any activity performed for the Supreme Lord is permanent. As a result of such activities, the performer is immediately recognized. Nacha tasman manushyeshu kaschin me priya kritama. Bhagavad Gita 18:69. Such a devotee, because of full knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is immediately transcendental, although he may superficially appear to be engaged in materialistic activities. The only distinction between materialistic activity and spiritual activity is that material activity is performed only to satisfy one's own senses, whereas spiritual activity is meant to satisfy the transcendental senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So that's the point. The difference is that. Is it about the Krishna senses or our senses? So it's not about the activity, it's about whose senses is it about. Right? So then the point before, we were discussing about the dress, then the point is if I wear one particular, I wear the clothes that Prabhupada, you know, has given to us, that we see that all the other sampradayas use, and in all their old paintings, that even date Mughal and all that, they're using a particular kind of dress. We dress that, so as far as looking at, who's going to be pleased? Right? For Krishna. But if we dress how we feel, then is it about Krishna or is it about us? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the idea, is that whose senses is it about? Now it's about, okay, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be preaching to the person, but because they're so absorbed in what I'm wearing bed sheets that they don't listen to what I'm saying. If I wear something else, then they'll listen. Then, okay, then that's for Krishna's pleasure, because the point is it's about that. But if we're not teaching them directly about Krishna, then actually, then who is it pleasing? So I indirectly dress and indirectly talk, then do I get anywhere?
Indirectly.
Indirectly, yes. Yes. Does that make sense? So it's about whose senses is it for? That's the point. So it's, if it's about us, it's called sense gratification. The same activity about Krishna's senses, it's called devotional service. Not that if it's about the senses, it's sense gratification. If it's not about the senses, then that's devotional service. No, that's how the jnanis, the mayavadis, look at it. Right? So we have to be very clear on this. Yeah? By spiritual activity, everyone factually benefits, whereas by materialistic activity, no one benefits, and instead one becomes entangled in the laws of karma. So we say, no, but it's for everybody. It actually means it's for nobody. If it's for Krishna, we'll see it's for nobody, but it's actually for everybody. That's the mode of ignorance. We're unable to see things as they are. Conclusion. It can be seen that although karmis and bhaktas may work in the same place at the same time with the same energy and with the same ambition, they achieve different results, right? Because it's for Krishna or it's not. Right? Very simple. That's the point. Now, because in Bhagavad Gita it said, Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva vajamyaham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Judge who rewards or punishes different persons according to the surrender to his lotus feet. So, what's the difference here? Time, place, and circumstance, they're getting different results, though the time, place, circumstance is the same. Why? One surrenders to Krishna in one way, one surrenders in a different way. Right? So one surrenders as a devotee, the other surrenders to him simply as material energy. So he reciprocates in that way. But there are many karmis in the dress of devotees. So then you get the aspect is many will follow the Vedic principles, but they're not actually interested in Krishna. They're only interested in the material benefit that they'll get from following the rules given in the Vedas. Right? But the Supreme Personality of Godhead can direct their purpose, detect their purpose. The karmis want to use the property of the Lord for their selfish sense gratification, but a devotee endeavors to use the Lord's property for God's service. Therefore, a devotee is always distinct from the karmis, although the karmis may dress like devotees.
Okay.
Yes, it doesn't say that. Because if they dress like, at least it's a step up. But the other way is a step down. You know, it's probably been said, if someone's into all this New Age stuff, if they're not a devotee, it's a step up. But if they're a devotee, it's a step down. Okay, stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.